Damian Lillard is on fire. Anthony Simons has turned the corner as well. The defense is bad, though, and the Trailblazers are still foundering around trying to figure out who they are. Welcome to the Blazer Focus Podcast. I am Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian Oregon Live, and I'm joined by Craig Burnback, who has a lot to say about these Blazers, being pessimistic as always, as I have become the eternal optimist on this show, shocking everyone. But Craig, how you doing, my man?
I'm not always pessimistic, just when it's earned. That's all. I mean, I'm not about to say that Anthony Simons is like, what were the words you used? I'm not sure. I'll go with Damian Lillard's on fire, but I'm not so sure about the rest. I'm not sure about anything with the Blazers other than Damian Lillard's on fire. Like that is 100% true. And the rest of it to me is still a big mess of, I don't know, and a little bit of yuck, a little bit of hope, and a lot of just mediocrity, which might be a compliment. Might be a compliment.
Listen, you're just being a hater. Because check this out. They've won 3 out of 4.
Yeah,
they beat 3 out of 4.
They beat the Spurs, and then they beat the Hawks without their best player.
But they dropped 147 on the Spurs. They beat Utah. That was a quality win.
Utah. Yeah, they got 60 of Damian Lillard. It took 60, but they got the win. Yeah, their best player averaged 43 points, and they still managed to lose a game in that week. It's awesome. They beat the Hawks 129-125. They gave 125 points to a Hawk team without the player that averages 30 a game playing.
Okay, but every time the Blazers lose a game, even when they lost Lillard, even when other guys are out, we say, oh, they still should be winning, they should figure it out. But now they beat a team, they're missing Trae Young. So you can't have, you got to take the wins when you can get them.
I want to, look, that's been my mantra the whole time. Every win matters in this bundled up West. It just depends on whether or not, the Blazers actually want the wins at some point, right? That's the question. Where do they want to finish? What do they want? What do the Blazers want? Because maybe the victories are going to cost them a first round draft pick. But look, I give it to them. You win 3 out of 4. The Spurs game, you can't possibly lose. And they didn't. Good win against Utah, thanks to another history-making performance from Damian Lillard, who's playing out of his mind. The Raptors' loss was just a horrible loss. Yes, they had no Nurkic. They had no heart. So there's excuses.
Yeah, their best two rebounders were out, and they got torched in rebounding.
Yeah.
Of course, those two came back for Atlanta, and they got torched in rebounding in that game as well. The offensive rebounds they've been giving up and second-chance points the last couple of games.
Oh, it's horrible.
Just astounding.
And look, I got to tell you, when you talk about their best – look, Nurkic is being benched in the Hawks' win for almost the entire second half. So – he might not have played anyway, and we keep on talking about or hoping that Little is going to be better than Hart and earn his place in the starting lineup. So, yeah, they didn't play, but yuck that the guys who did play, got crushed like that, on the boards by Toronto, and then everyone played against Atlanta, and no one could rebound. And
Hart had 12, but they still got dominated.
Yes. And gosh, no. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing with Nurk.
Let's start.
What are they doing with Nurk?
I don't know. Let's start here. Okay. So, as someone who I had them at this point, at my first fact of interest was they'd be top two by this point. Clearly, I accidentally ate like a pan full of edibles because they aren't even close to that. Did I mark it corrected? I think to top. Did I go straight to top six or top four?
I think it's
top
six. Four or six.
Yeah, and then I marked corrected to that they wouldn't be kicked out of the NBA. But that win against Atlanta was ginormous in the context of where they are because they avoided falling to 4 games under. Like in the long season, it's easy to go, the games don't matter, blah, blah, blah. But when you're looking at being 4 games under or 2 games under before you go on a 3-game trip where you're probably going to lose 2 out of 3 at least, I don't see them beating the Memphis, and I think Chicago's going to handle them. They probably win at Washington. But who knows? They might win all three or lose all three.
Maybe.
Anyway,
Washington's 24-26. You know,
that's true. Yeah, they got all three are losable.
They got the same record. Same record.
Right. So if you go 1-2 on that, and you go into it 4-under, you come back 5-under with 5 home games. But you're like at that point, it's just. I mean, I even said to you, if they're 6-under by the break, and past the trade deadline, don't make a major move, it might be time to tweak things a bit enough to tank the rest of the way. But that was a huge win in terms of them at least trying to find some kind of confidence before they go on the road. They've won 3 of 4. It sounds like already that you don't think this means anything because the Spurs stink and Atlanta didn't have their best player. You'll give them the Utah win, but only because Dame scored 60.
Well, that's part of it. So, that's great.
So, I mean, are you saying then that you just, since the last time we talked, nothing's happened to make you think that maybe there could be some signs of life here?
No, I don't see any sign. I don't. I mean, they gave up a ridiculous amount of points in their victories, and to the Spurs, you can't lose to the Spurs.
I said all of that, and then you go, nah.
And anyone who saw anything other than Damian Lillard playing out of his mind, I mean, what else did you see? Yes, Anthony Simons hit a wide open three with 20 seconds.
Simons has been balling. Sure. I just wrote 900 words on how he's been balling.
Good. We see things differently. I see him as being fine and defensively still hurting you and not stepping up to an all-star level. I think Grant's been good. Right, but that was the hope, right? The hope was that they were going
to
get
this year. Not necessarily. I didn't expect him to be all-star this year, but go ahead. Continue.
Well, I'm just saying, I have not. Right now, are you happy with where he is right now?
Yeah.
You think it's just fine? Okay.
I'm not.
I don't think it's fine. I think he scores points.
I don't think
he doesn't pass. He doesn't rebound. He doesn't play make. He doesn't go to the hole enough. Okay, and he doesn't play defense.
That's what I just wrote about. He had 9 assists against Utah, 4 against Toronto, 7 against Atlanta. So hold on.
Those relax. 3 games, yep.
Relax.
I can't relax ever.
The problem, he's still trying to find his way in terms of figuring out, am I a shooting guard? Am I still trying to be a playmaking guard while playing next to an elite point guard? That's not necessarily easy to do. It's not like McCollum was averaging 7 assists a game or anything like that. So he's trying to figure that out. When Dame doesn't play, and I went back and looked at this, when Dame sat out, he was averaging around 6 assists per game. When Dame came back, like in one stretch, he went right back to 2. And so they're trying to find the balance with him. And so these last few games, his assists have gone up while playing with Lillard. So there's at least a sign there. But you're right. He doesn't always know when to be that guy. Sometimes he settles for threes. But he's way better this season attacking the rim than he's ever been. He's at 62% attacking the rim versus, I think, 54 last year and 45 the year before. He's attacking it way more. I think he only had shots inside of 5 feet last year, like 62 of them. And this year's already like 160 or something like that. So I didn't come into this season thinking he was just going to make this huge jump to all-star level. I thought this is going to be still a transition year of becoming a first-year starter. Now, I know you say, this is 5th year, whatever.
I don't talk like that.
He didn't play. some people develop differently. He didn't play a lot in his first couple of years, and we see what's happening with someone like Lowry, and you see Larry Markin, you see that around the league. So I think where he is right now, I'm cool with it because I still think he has room to grow, which is something Chauncey's talking about. So I want to give him, and we all know I'm a big Ant guy, but I'll back it up with numbers and facts in this regard.
And I will say this, it's not Anthony Simons is good, and it's not like he's doing anything terrible, and some of it is like no one else can play. Playing with Damian Lillard is hard, right? I mean, you're not going to have the ball. And basically, Damian has become, turn back the clock a little bit. He doesn't give up the rock. He's got the ball in his hands because he should. he scored 60 and they won, right? I mean, he's just playing out of his mind. I mean, he's averaging 30 a game. I mean, it's just, averaging 7 assists.
There you go, yeah. You said he didn't give up the rock, but he's
no, I'm just saying, like, yes, he gives up the rock for guys to get layups and dunks and maybe wide open threes, but he doesn't allow for other guys to necessarily playmake for long periods of time. It's just not. Now, he at the end of, you know, the Hawks game, he did. He gave up the rock at times because they were double teaming him right as soon as he got over half court. Because the Hawks were like, no, we got to do something. And he still burned him because it's Damian Lillard. So it's not, look, there is that part that people say this a lot because it's true, that it's hard to win big with two small guards leading the way. There's a reason why they say it. Because it's true. Because it's a fact.
That's what happened once in 50 years.
And it was a long time ago when you won games 86-82, right? So, I mean, and Joe Dumars was a defensive, you know, maestro. And him and Isaiah Thomas, the basketball IQs on that team were so high. And it's a different time.
I mean, and they were backed by the greatest defensive front court probably ever.
Yes.
Yes. I know. Right. I've been preaching this for 10 years.
And you could win games scoring 92 points a game. Now, if you score 92 points a game, if you're the Blazers, you lose by 40. You lose by 40. So that's not a thing. Like, and it's really hard to win with that. So it's not Simons' fault, but it is. It does lead you to the point where you say, okay, they tried this with CJ and Dame. They reached some high levels. They made it to one Western Conference Finals. They won, you know, high 40s, low 50 games, and it didn't get them to the promised land. Can this get you to the promised land? The answer to this might be straight up no. And then what do? And that's part of what, you know, the thought process has to be for Joe Cronin. And, but, you know, we got to take a moment. Damian Lillard, I mean, come on. I mean, this guy looks just as good as he's ever looked, if not better. He's scoring points, getting to the line like 15, 20 times, making it, you know, he's not missing threes unless he's taking them for 43 feet and there's two guys on him. I mean, if the number one goal was to see Damian Lillard play like an all-star, check that off, because Damian Lillard's going to the all-star game.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. This month, 50, a 40, a 44, a 60, a 42, and then several games in the 30s, averaging 34.5, shooting 49% from the field and 37 on threes, which is pretty typical for him on threes, but he's had just some ridiculous 3.9s as well.
To the line, Mike.
Yeah,
crazy.
He's always been great at that, but yeah, he's averaging 11 free throws per game this month, and of course, hitting on 91%. So yeah, he's going bonkers. And I, you know, what he's said is that he just picks and chooses the nights on when he thinks he needs to do whatever it is he needs to do.
And now it's every night. He needs to do everything.
Yeah. Because now it's to the point where they have to start winning games. And so he can't say, well, let's see if we can run our offense and put ourselves, nope. I need to be Damian Lillard and score a lot of points because we're going to be screwed otherwise. And you look at this run he's had, and you know, his lowest scoring output was 30 against Toronto, and they lost that game.
They lost.
He scores
50 against Utah, they lose.
Right. How long can he continue this? I mean, he's had bursts before where he's gone off for a while, but then it backs off. I mean, even that year when they won 13 in a row in 2018 and he was just going crazy, after that, there was like a 3-week stretch when he was like shooting 20-something percent from three. So you wonder how long that's going to last. And if it doesn't last in games when he's not hitting, other people have to step up. And that just hasn't consistently been a thing as of late. But I will.
Yeah, the defense changes. Like, you know, some teams, like the Hawks, you know, they decided late in that fourth quarter when they made their run, they just kept throwing two right at, you know, Dame right there. Like, nope, we're not going to let you get set. He still got to the hole a couple times because he split the double team. But, you know, in general, if teams decide to you know, put two guys on one guy that far, like at the half court, like you should get layups from other players, right? But you can't shoot threes consistently when guys are guarding like that. And, you know, thank goodness the Jazz didn't, you know, do that early enough. And when the Hawks did it, really that one huge shot, Simons, that was a backbreaker. It's impossible for Damian Lillard to continue to play at this level if he doesn't get help, right? If no one else is a threat. And Grant's been, you know, consistently, you know, pretty good, even though he dropped off from three, but he's still above 40%. But yeah, I think that Lillard's just, now if you're Lillard, I don't know where his mindset is. You know, I know he got a little hostile after the one game, that one loss, and in typical Damian Lillard fashion, did it in a, you know, a pretty classy way to rebuff questions about what the team should do. But I don't know what's in it.
That's the thing that set him off.
Yes.
It was just, you know, saying, oh, yeah, we're probably going to have a trade. We'll probably do something. Yeah, it's fine. Then someone said, you know, how's your patience? As if he might lose his cool and start making threats and demands. And that's what pissed him off. And that positive that question was asked by a visiting journalist.
It was a New York Times guy. Yeah.
I knew a New York Times guy was there and someone else was there too. But anyway, when the dude asked the question, I was just like, ah, shit, here we go. Shit, right away. Like, why are you asking me this?
And right, I think
the same thing. Why are you asking this now? But, you know, if you're an out-of-town guy, the national story with anything Blazers is what's going to happen with Lillard. That's the national narrative. Anyone cares
about. And most players at this point would be frustrated, and no one could blame Damian Lillard right now at his age with this team where they are if he looked at it and said, you know what, we're not going to win anything this year, and I don't think we're going to win anything next year. And then I'm 35, right? So let's just do it. He's just different. And, you know, we know if he were to do that, he wasn't going to do it in that press conference. So it's a wasted question, right? So
it's a bait question. And, you know, you thinking he might bite and he didn't.
Sure, you do your job. You ask. He doesn't have to answer, and he didn't.
Right.
You know, so you are going to ask that question because you got to see him every day. I'm not saying you know what I mean. But you've asked it so many times,
right?
And would in a different. You wouldn't done it right after the loss, probably in the press conference.
Well, yeah, and plus I have a different mindset because I've had conversations behind the scenes about this kind of stuff, and I sort of know what the point. Like, huh?
At 12 years. I mean, Damian Lillard's been patient for 12 years. Well, he's not going to run out because of one loss.
Right. But I don't think he meant because of one loss. I think he meant because of where they are right now. But the plan has always been through next summer. And I think Damian has made it clear that he's down with that plan. So the idea that now he's losing patience and they better do something or else, this doesn't make any sense for anybody. Not even for him. He just spent the entire He just spent an entire year literally answering the question about loyalty every single day, to the point where before media day, remember I put a request on Twitter that no one ask him about his loyalty if we can get to the entire press conference. And we did, because it's just, you know, the shoe drops, it'll drop. But I think it drops in the summer. If they get through the trade deadline in the summer and they're the same team going into next year, I think that's when the franchise and Lillard have to wonder, okay, is it time to do something? You know, and if they decide it's not, then they're both basically relegating themselves to the idea that they're probably never going to contend during his timeline unless Sharp completely blows up. Because, and as much as I like Ant, at the end of the day, unless you really can get a 6'10", like if you got Siakam to play alongside Nurk and Grant with Dame and Ant, I think you got a shot. But you have to have size between those two. Otherwise, it's just not a championship match. And again, I'm not being critical. We just talked about the only team to ever win with a duo like that, Bad Boy Pistons. Great defensive team with two guys, who star guards, who play defense. These two do not play plus defense. So in my mind, that leads me to believe that either Damian's going to get traded if they can't find another guy, and not the Blazers getting rid of him, but Damian and them having a mutual agreement that this should happen, and then answer lead guard, or, dare I say it, you may have to trade Anthony.
Yeah, I just don't know. You know, trading Anthony seems to me a viable option if you can find someone who plays, you know, the three or the five, which isn't
good. Or the four, because Grant can go to the three.
Sure. But, you know, perfect world, Grant's your three, right? Because you're going to build up that height. Like, you get Siakam. You know, you're not going to get Anthony Simons for Siakam's not going to happen, right? That's not going to be enough. So, but then if you did, there you go, right? Then Grant's your three, Siakam's your four, Nurk's your, you know, your five. And Damian's your one, like you're already in a different
Sharp off the bench, yeah,
or whatever. Hart's gone because he's not going to be signed. Doesn't matter. Like then you fill in the blanks with the others, but you're basing your, you know, you have three guys to base on in a decent center, which, you know, I don't know if that's true with Nurkic long term or short term, but yeah. But that's the thing. I don't know what Anthony Simons can get you right now. And that leads us to, you know, where I want to ask you, what are your expectations, you know, as we head, you know, a little over a week before the trade deadline? I mean, what do you expect them to do and what can they do?
Well, it's, you know, everyone knows they're trying to make moves. They've declared that since Cronin took over, that every chance there is to make a trade, they're going to be looking into it. I just went through the, you know, process of saying to a source, hey, you guys making moves? We're trying, you know, just to have someone from the organization say it to me personally, even though it's pretty obvious. Yeah, I mean, they're trying to do something. They know they have to do something now or the summer. I definitely think Hart is in play because he has a mutual option there to resign him. I mean, do you value him at 18-20 if that's what it takes to keep him? I don't know. I don't believe you're going to contend with a combination of a 6'3" shooting guard and a 6'4" small forward, because that just adds to the problem of being too small. So to me, if you keep him, he's a backup on a contending team, period. And are you going to want to pay a backup that much? Or like if I could keep him at 10-12, I'd keep him, because if he's coming off the bench, you're loving that. He can play some 2-3-1, he can defend. But that's probably not going to be the case. So it seems like he would be the guy to go. Apparently they're you know, at least kicking the tires on Nurk. I don't know who's going to want Nurk. Everyone sees how expensive inconsistent he is. He has 3 years left on his deal. So who knows what they can get there. You have to make sure you get a big bag. Who's giving up a big as good or better to get him? I don't know. So I think it's going to be interesting. You know, to me, in a perfect world, those two combined are making about 28. If you can find a team looking to get rid of $28 million, $30 million a year, or maybe even 40, because you can throw in Watford and Brown or whatever to match salaries, then you can maybe pull off a deal to add another star caliber player who's at least Grant or better, which is basically what the Blazers were doing in reverse last season when they moved CJ, right? They were moving their $35 million a year player to get him off the books and clear the runway for Anthony. And then they took back a trade exception and a pick that they flipped into Grant. So I think that's the kind of deal they're looking for. And those things pop. And this is going to be an offseason, I think, where we're going to see, and I think everyone thinks this, that we're going to see a lot of teams shifting to tank mode pretty quickly because it's such a deep draft. It's basically two drafts worth of players, because you have the kids who were one and done who are coming out, and then you have the kids who don't have to go to college anymore because the one and done's gone. So that's two classes filled with, you know, top 10 picks. And basically, it should be, you know, if let's say there were eight stars that you think could be in one draft and eight in another. Well, now you got 16. So if you can just get into the lottery, you're going to get what would be a top 10 pick in either of these last two drafts. You get what I'm saying? So I think there's going to be dudes available. Who, where, when, I don't know for sure, but teams are always trying to dump salary. So take your Knicks. I mean, could they be ready to give up on Julius Randle?
No.
Okay. I'm just saying. But if that were the case, then they could be looking to move him for an expiring contract, and maybe they'll take Nurkic. Who knows? You know, I'm just saying that's the kind of thing you're looking for. A player out there that fits what you want, playing for a team that wants to move him in its contract, and then you can pounce.
So everything you said is true. The one issue, there's two issues when I look at it, is one, there's so many teams right now, both in the West and the East, they're so bundled up. Like there's so much mediocrity. People who are going to choose to tank are going to have to do it while they're still technically in contention to make the playoffs, right? You know, the Knicks aren't going to tank right now because they got to make the playoffs in their world. I mean, the West is kind of a crazy mess. Like the Lakers aren't going to tank, and they're behind the Blazers. So the Blazers are the team that kind of, if you're not in the Portland Blazers world, you look at the Blazers, you're like, well, they should probably tank, because if they don't, they lose the first round pick. And so you're right. There could be teams that are just looking to dump salary, but there's so many teams that are feel they're close and closer maybe and have more picks or better players than the Blazers, I think it's going to be hard for the Blazers to be able to find a deal to get an all-star caliber player, because they just don't have a lot of pieces right now. I mean, Hart is basically an expiring deal. Do you trade Simons? Because that's a guy. But Nurkic is, like you said, is anyone going to really look at Nurkic? Nasir Little's got a great contract if he were good, but right now he's not going to help. I don't know how much a team on the cusp or a team that is looking to really get, to start over and young, maybe they take a risk on Little, but they're not looking at that guy as a building block. And you're not trading. So in my opinion, you're not trading Sharp. You're not trading Damian. Right. But you're not trading Sharp. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, cause you're not going to get equal value for that. I mean, you can't take that risk in my opinion. Sure. If you could get Siakam, go ahead.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
But that, that's still a risk, and I don't see the Raptors, maybe, I don't know. That's a matchup I don't see either side really wanting to do. I don't know if they're going to be willing to trade Simons. That's the only piece that I don't know where Joe Cronin and his crew's head's at. Because to me, Simons is a guy that's still young enough, good enough for a team to say, hey, that could be our all-star point guard or borderline all-star guard, lead guard. And Grant, Grant's this piece that you're not trading him, but you're praying like heck that he re-signs with you. And you know what I mean? Like, everyone's like, oh, well, you could give him more money. He says he wants to stay here. You got his bird's rights. All those things are true. All signs point to Grant re-signing with the Blazers. But LaMarcus Aldridge didn't. So there's always that. He has all the power. If he wants to take a little less money to go play somewhere else, he can. Or, so I think you just have to be conscious of the fact that if this team loses Grant and doesn't make another major move, like, they're back to being awful. And I don't know if they can make a move. I think the summer's where it's going to have to happen, and they're going to have to make smaller moves that will probably make them less competitive, but hopefully build their resources for the summer. Get some, maybe get some picks, get some young guys somewhere. I don't know. I mean, you talk about the Knicks.
One of those resources could be their pick if it's a lottery pick. If they make the playoffs.
Exactly. And if they do make the playoffs and they don't get that lottery pick, right. And then where are they? Then Chicago's got more, ability to make trades. I mean, you talk about the Knicks. The Knicks got tons of young bigs and young players that people like Obi Toppin's a guy that can go in a starting lineup and people could say, well, he'll average 15 and 10. He could shoot the three a little bit. Nasir Little can't. And guess what? Nasir Little 6 foot what? I don't know how tall
five.
He is. Right. But he's way taller than the other 6 foot five guys on the Blazers. So I don't know. But I mean, Obi Toppin's a power forward. He's 6'9" and long. So that's where I'm looking at the Blazers, and I want to know where's Joe Cronin's head at, because Blazer fans want you to trade Nurk, trade Hart, get something great. And I'm like, why would somebody give you something great for those pieces? They're not. And
well, okay, but teams do. And, well, we got to define what great means. But we just saw the Blazers give up CJ for trade exception Hart in a pick. Like, so things like that can materialize. That's all I'm saying. And I think that's what their hope is. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Apparently, OG is available. Toronto's willing to maybe move him. That's, that would be the absolute perfect fit. What's it going to take? Is it going to take Ant? Do they want Ant? I don't know. Do you want to give up Ant for OG? To me, it pains me to say that.
There you
but
go.
If I can go from 6'2 to 6'7 or 6'3 to 6'7, then I think I'm better just from the added length and size, as much as that would pain me to see them do that. But,
I agree. It's going to take Simons, though. That's the problem. It's going to take Simons. And then guess what? You're not that – you're – you're probably, are you better this year? Probably not. Because who play, you know, who plays the two? Who gives you scoring?
Well, if Hart's not gone, Hart would. Or if Hart
right,
is
but
not,
he can't.
If Hart is gone,
he's not.
What if he's the true two guard? I think he can. He'll be better at scoring than he is now. But anyway,
of course, well, he can't Hart's be much gone, worse.
If, or maybe you just bring Hart off the bench because he can back up the two and the three, and you just start Sharp. You say, screw it, we're starting Sharp. We're going
right,
Dame,
exactly.
Sharp, OG, which, Grant, Nurkic. Boom.
And you don't.
I think.
And you
I think
do
you're
not.
Better. You, am I wrong?
I don't know. I hope you're not. You know, I hope you're not, because then if you make that, I think that's a smart trade, right? I have no problem with that trade. I think it's smart because, yes, eventually you hope Sharp to be, if Sharp's your two, you're long. And then you get the, but I want you not to be, if I'm a Blazer fan, and it's hard to say this, I want you to get the pick, right? Because then you get the 13th pick or you know, who knows? I mean, the top 10, possibly a top 10 pick, which you're in this deep draft, and suddenly you, maybe you have, next year Sharp's a starter, made huge strides. You know, you got a big man in Obi, and then you have this other piece with a high ceiling. If you make that trade and then you make the playoffs and you don't get a first round draft pick, now where are you, right? I don't know. So I would say in a perfect world, if you were designing this without having to live through it and sell tickets and somehow, you know, somehow articulate it to Dame so he doesn't get frustrated. I think your best case scenario is make that trade with Toronto, play Sharp at the two, you know, have a bigger, you know, forward position, get that lottery pick, pick another guy, or take that lottery pick and turn it into, you know, something amazing, right? I don't know, Paul George, you know, and then you go for a championship, you know, possibly. But I think if you do that trade, then make the playoffs and don't have a lottery pick, you're, I don't know how advanced you are, and I know you're struggling to score points. And I don't know where Dame is in that. I mean, the Dame
now, apparently,
issue.
Apparently, Ant's good, allegedly Ant's on the untouchable list, meaning you better come with something huge.
Right. You know, but yeah. Again, if he's untouchable, I don't know how you're going to get your player. And dump salaries happens. You're right. But there's so many teams out there that are thinking that are in similar record-wise or a little bit better than the Blazers and have made some big moves last year that they would possibly, you know, that Hart, you know, that, you know, Hart and Nurkic ain't going to get it done because they could do better, even if it's dumping salary, and they could get a pick. And the Blazers can't do that. You know, they can't include their first round draft pick. So I would, Simons is your, that's where I'm at. Is if Cronin's in a place where Simons is untouchable, I do not see a significant trade happening until the
summer. Well, I don't think Simons or Sharp are untouchable. It would have to just be knock your socks off deal.
Look, I'm cool if Sharp's untouchable. I'm cool with that. You know, unless it's ridiculous. Kevin. Well, I mean, unless it's Kevin Durant.
Well, then
right?
You're not
you know,
untouchable.
I mean, right, of course. But sure, I'd trade LeBron. I'd get LeBron at 38 right now and put him with Dame, see what happens. You know what I mean? I got 3 years probably. They probably have the same window. But yes, you know, of course. But I'm saying I don't – there aren't – the people that you'd get for Sharp, you're not going to get for Sharp that you would say are not untouchable. You're not going to – I mean, you could – you know. Kyrie is on a level there that maybe they trade him because of who he is, but you don't want him because you already got that. So you're looking at, I mean, Siakam for Sharp. Where are you at?
Done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cool with that.
If my goal is to win with Lillard, I don't care what Sharp's going to be from 24 on.
Oh, you care a little bit.
Doesn't
you
matter.
Care a little?
No, not,
a little?
Not if my goal is to win.
I got you, but
dang.
But you don't want to trade Michael. You don't want to trade Michael Jordan. You know, I'm just saying, like, you know, he's 6'7", can fly. If he can learn to hit a little bunny turnaround jumper,
who's
you
six,
got
seven?
Michael.
Who's 6'7"?
What is he, 6'6"?
6'4.5".
You think,
out of,
oh, really?
Out of his own mouth.
Okay.
He's right. Not so six. He's not close. I told you the story.
But he's
did
long.
I tell you the story about when I first met him? I was like, he ain't no 6'6". I went double negative.
But he's long.
If I go double to negative, that means I'm incredulous. He ain't no 6'6".
If you trade Sharp, you're going to worry a little. I mean, you have to. I mean, you're looking at a guy that, you know, some say if he played in college would have been the number one overall pick. And he's shown signs of, look, he's playing not almost 20 minutes a game. And sure, he's still got major issues on defense and some serious issues on offense. But he's doing some things, Aaron, that you're like, oh, you got that?
Dunks?
No, he's come through, changed hands. He has shown
skilled. He's skilled.
There's
a long way from skilled to Michael. Is Anthony Edwards? Michael is
Anthony Edwards.
DeJounte Murray to me is freaking phenomenal. That could be Sharp's ceiling. I'd rather have Siakam. I'm not saying Sharp can't be great. He can be. Sharp's floor is Bonzi. All right, that's his floor for me. Bonzi was really, really good, but he never.
Hopefully not on the floor as much as Bonzi, if you know what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, but Bonzi never put it together. I mean, he's admitted this. He never put it together mentally, right?
Of course.
So his floor to me is Bonzi, and then his ceiling is, you know, Edwards or more athletic Clay. You know, I mean, it's like something like that. But if I can get Siakam, who already is an all-star caliber big, to play with Lillard in this window – and my commitment is to try and win with Lillard, then yes, I would make that deal and worry about whatever Sharp becomes later, because it's not like I'm never going to draft again.
I'm not mad at you for that. I'm probably with you. Don't think they'll do it. I don't think they'll do it. But if I were Toronto, I'd do it.
Yeah, if you're trying to restart. But let me ask you this.
Or not, you know, or just keep moving it up a level, because you have repeat positions with Siakam.
Right.
You know, we're talking about trading for the other one. They could just move in there, and then suddenly you have, you know, this, you know, possibly young phenom, and you're sitting there at mediocrity too, below mediocrity.
Right.
So why not?
So yeah.
And you got a really good GM.
And the other thing with Sharp, maybe he develops, becomes really good, and doesn't want to stay in Portland.
Right. Yep. Wouldn't be the first time.
Exactly. So we don't know what's going to happen with that kid. We all believe he could be really, really good, but if my focus is the next 3 years with Dame, I make that trade.
And I'm with you, but all that this comes down to is that what we're talking about is if you're going to get odds are if you're going to get, you know, that next level guy, you're going to have to give up somebody that people are going to, it's going to hurt. You know, you're not going to get it for Nurkic and Hart. So if you do,
I'm looking around. You can't get Nurkic, Hart, and some picks. I don't know. I'm just saying. You never.
But
know.
Where?
You know I want. You know who I really want them to get. I don't think Utah would do it. Would be marketing. If they could get Lowry first, oh my god, he would be perfect. But the way he's playing.
But
now,
but Utah's got they got billboards. Billboards.
Cheap.
They can't take.
He's cheap. He's only making $16 million a year.
Which there's no reason for Utah to trade him. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and he's not old. You know what I mean? Like, so they wouldn't. But yes, of course. And look, Julius Randle will be great. But why would the Knicks aren't going to give him? They might give him up for, I don't know if they give him up for Sharp. I don't even know. But like that's the part where everything has to fit. But Nurkic, Hart, and some picks. Well, other teams have so many more, you know, have the pick now for this draft, and the Blazers don't. And like you said, this draft is going to, you know, if you're making a move to get rid of an all-star, you're probably going to be able to get somebody to give you a pick this year. But look, you know, you're right. Crazy stuff happens. Crazy stuff happens in the NBA where the problem is there's not enough right now. There's not that disgruntled guy, right? You don't have that guy that wants out. You know, George has wanted out a couple times. You know, Carmelo wanted out. He was the original want out guy. And you
OG allegedly wants out, and then
but he's not that.
Apparently,
Atlanta's
no. Well, he's pretty good.
And both those guys would be great additions to the Blazers, but they'd also be great additions to so many other teams that might be able to, you know, send a first round draft pick for this year. But if you could get either one of those guys, and John Collins can learn to shoot the three again, you know, you're really in great shape. Oh God, it's just like a different player from 2 years ago. Like Ooh, like you were wide open, dude. Like you could have broken that game wide open. Like the Blazers could have lost that game if he could make two threes. So,
Real quick on Grant. I think his relationship with Dame pretty much assures that he's going to stay. And he's not a clout seeker. He's not a big city chasing kind of guy. Like I think he's gonna take a nice deal and stay here with Dame. But I also think that if he resigns, that would be a clear sign that Damian is committed to staying and seeing this thing through. I don't think that Dame's gonna say, "Hey Grant, stay with me," and then, "Oh wait, I'm leaving." Right. So I do think, I mean, I was just saying that, yeah, they're at their mercy, but I think it's almost like the Norman Powell thing where they traded for Norman Powell and he's going to be a free agent. But it was like, is he really going to leave? And he allegedly talked to some other teams, including your Knicks. But at the end of the day, he took the 5 years, 90. He got the most years, the most money, right, and he stayed put. So I think the same thing's going to happen.
And then they got rid of him.
And then they, well, Neil didn't get rid of him. Olshay didn't get rid of him. Right. Cronin and company got rid of him. But he landed in a good spot. There's no doubt.
Sure did.
In LA. Okay, before we blast off here, 3-game trip: Memphis, Washington, Bulls. 3 games in 4 days. They won all three. They come back up a game over 500. If they lose just one, they'll be just one game under 500. If they lose two, they'll be back to three. If they lose all three, oh my God, disaster. They're 5 games under. What do you think's gonna happen? What's your call?
You know, I would bet on one and two I think you have a much better chance of going 0-3 than 3-0. Like there's no chance in my mind they go 3-0. And I don't know where you get to, you know, going 2-1 is gonna take, you know, 64. From Damian Lillard, yeah. You know?
I think they're 1-1 going to Chicago. I think they beat the Wizards, they lose to Memphis. They're 1-1 going to Chicago, and Chicago offensively just eats up bad defensive teams. So I think they lose that. So I think they're 1-2.
Yeah, I mean, I would bet on 1-2, and I would say be careful because, you know, the Wizards are playing decent basketball, and you know they're 7-3 in their last 10, and they've won 6 in a row. So
they're due.
You know, you're right. They're due. They're not very good. They're not very good, but they've won 6 in a row, right? Right. So, and the Bulls, are just doing what they've done all year. They're right around 500 in the last. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They're 23-26. Look, I don't sit here. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you why the Wizards have won 6 in a row. But I would just say that. Why would you think, you know, the Wizards are going to be favored? You know what I mean? Like, if they won 6 in a row, they're 24-26. The Blazers are 24-26 and playing in Washington, right? So, you're going to be an underdog in all three of these games unless there's injuries. And so you're going to have to win. But that's where you're at. We're basically saying the Blazers are going to go 1-2 against, you know, two mediocre teams because they're mediocre too.
Yeah, they are mediocre and they're on the road. I've given up on calling this team good. Until they win, like they've won 3 out of 4. Okay, that's nice. But until they win like 6 or 7 in a row like the Wizards just did, you know, until they get above 500 by a couple of games, and yeah, they're just mediocre. They are what they are.
Yeah, and I don't see that, you know, they're right where I thought they were going to be, you know, fighting for 500 record in that, you know, that middle ground between, you know, 38 and, you know, 45 wins, you know, 38, 42, 43 wins, and it looks like they'll be the under. I don't know what I'm rooting for anymore with this team. That's the part that's hard. I'm just saying, like, they're also, other than Dame, I mean, you say, like, people go nuts about Sharp's dunks because it's something.
But you can't say this team can't rattle off 6 or 7 in a row when you just talked about the Wizards doing that. They were 18-26. And I'm sure there were a bunch of people going, "Oh, this team sucks, blah, blah, blah." They lost 4-5. But before losing 5 out of 6 before that, they won 5 in a row. Then they lost 5 out of 6. Then they won 6 in a row. So if they can do it, the Blazers can do it. And when I see evidence of that, I'll go back to saying they're good, but I'm jumping off the bandwagon where I was making excuses for them because they're just irritating me.
Yeah, I just look at the NBA and their schedule, and I just don't see places where they can win 6 in a row. You know, I just don't. I mean, they're not going to be. If they beat Memphis, okay, then maybe. If they go to Memphis and win, okay. If they beat Memphis, Washington, Chicago, great. But guess what? Then they got to play the Bucks. Oh, then they have to play the Warriors. Oh, then they play. They could beat Oklahoma City and lost the Lakers, but they also lost to both those teams last time they played. Yeah, they could beat Washington. Look, Sacramento keeps on just punching me in the face because they keep winning, right? So They sure as heck could beat Oklahoma City, Oklahoma City, Lakers, Wizards, Kings, Houston. They can win those games. They could, but they're winnable games. But then on the outside of those are Golden State. So, but if this team ever won five games in a row at this point, I would say, oh, okay, this is a different team. Things are different. Yeah. But they haven't done it.
They haven't done it this season.
Right, because they're not defensively they can't, you know, they've won three in a row in December, and it was against two wins against Minnesota and one against the Spurs. You know, their other winning streak, three games, was by far, you know, back November. They started the year with four straight wins, and that by far is their best stretch. It's not even close. It's mind-boggling when you look at it now. They beat the Kings at Sacramento, Phoenix at home, at the Lakers.
And Denver.
Blew out Denver at home. I mean,
championship.
I'm just saying, like, that first four games of the year. And then since then, you know, beating Miami, Charlotte, and New Orleans the road was amazing.
Yeah, and exactly. They were 9-3, and they haven't been anywhere close to that team since then. So, anyway. All right. Anything else you want to drop?
No. Good. I feel good about this. I feel we battled enough, but we agree on a lot.
Yeah, I don't like agreeing with you. That makes the question insanity. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Blazer Focus Podcast. We will be back next week after this three-game road trip. Be sure to click that subscribe button and give us a positive rating. We'd appreciate that, and we'll catch you next week. Excuse me.